Hello, this is Adventures with My 40s. I'm your host, Courtney Novak, a 44-year-old mom, writer, podcaster, and hot yogi. Let's add that today. And this is episode 36. The path to enlightenment is in the elementary school car line. And I am recording this from the trenches because I am trying to talk about, like, finding serenity and today and using like the difficult parts or the annoying things in life to cultivate more serenity. And right now I'm having one of those moments because I pick up the kids from school and Julian's in tears. And of course, when your child is upset, it takes them, they're not very good at explaining why. But it turns out that he got bumped when the kids were like going to get their lunch boxes and he fell. And he thinks he twisted his ankle. And he had it sprained a few weeks ago. And he's not walking. And he is walking with a limp now. And I am practicing tough love right now. Because he was all, I don't know if I can go to art class. And I'm like, I think you can. You're just sitting and drawing. I don't think you need your ankle for that. And more, God, it's just, there's so much you have to teach a kid. And there's so much that they need to learn that you can't even teach them. Like, they have to, like, build a relationship with their body. So he hasn't even had this body for 8 years yet. So he's still figuring it out. And his body keeps changing on him. Like, he keeps getting taller and bigger. And, you know, the proportions kind of shift around as they have, as he has his growth spurts. So I have to cut him some slack. But it is frustrating because the kids were watching the first two Harry Potter movies this week, and during those Quidditch scenes, I wanted to like shake my fist because all these young kids are flying around on broomsticks, crashing into each other, and they keep playing. And I wanted to like take the filmmakers aside. And I think J.K. Rowling's kids were like was a baby, and then maybe she had toddlers when she was writing the early books. So I'm like, this is not what children are like. I have a 10.5-year-old, and she gets a little tiny bump. And it's like the world has ended, and we had to have a come to Jesus talk after her soccer practice this week, where I was basically like, you've picked a sport that is a contact sport. It's not football, but it's not tennis either. Like, all the kids are trying to get the ball, and elbows get thrown, and, you know, shins get kicked. That's why you wear the shin guards, because you're going to get kicked. And I told her, like, if you're going to fall apart every time you feel like you got a little tiny bump, because, I mean, sometimes they get an injury that makes you want to, like, run, and you're like, oh, shit, that was bad. But 99% of the injuries that happen at a soccer game are just bullshit. And it's like, shake it off. But they don't know. They're just like, it's pain, it's discomfort. And I guess that's the same what's going on with Julian's ankle today. He doesn't have the lifetime perspective. So I have to stay calm with it, even though I want to be like, resist biting my tongue, because I really just want to say, it'd be really easier to parent my children if I lived in a less enlightened age, and I could just tell my son to man up and walk off the fucking twisted ankle. But it's 2023, so I have to like, be like, yes, you're having feelings, you were overwhelmed, it hurts, but go to art class, and we'll assess it in an hour and a half, because I suspect he'll go to art class and he'll forget all about it and the injury won't be there. And if I didn't take him to art class, if I let him come home, I wouldn't be recording this episode. And B, he would be fixating on it, and he'd be icing it, he'd be taking medicine, and he'd be like acting like it was the end of the world. And I know when I was a kid, I was the champion of twisted ankles, and I was always reporting to my parents, I need a, like, a ace bandage, I twisted my ankle. And God, they must, parenthood requires quite a bit of patience. So soccer season is ramping up. They had their first practices this week. They have their first games tomorrow. It remains to be seen whether Julian will walk off his limp in the next couple hours or if I will have to bench him at home. No way am I, at least I'm not coaching this year, because there's no way I'm going to a game when a kid has like an injured ankle. I'm like, well, this is my free pass to just stay home and let you watch TV and stay out of the heat, because we've had like mild weather all week, but just in time for soccer on Saturday, the heat is back to like 95. In other news, I'm working on slowing down, which is easier said than done with AYSO, back here, but there's just so much to do with motherhood. I'm so glad that I'm not adding on extra responsibilities in the volunteering department and that I'm on sabbatical. Okay, so let's go back to the main topic of this episode, Carline, being the path to enlightenment. This was something I thought to myself recently, like jokingly, but a little seriously, but mostly jokingly. But as the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh no, I actually think that for me, the path to enlightenment might be in Carline. So the kids are at the same elementary school. And like most elementary schools, there's an area where you can drive up and your kids get out and then they off they go to school. Most parents use it, but some do park and walk their kids into school. The same Carline, I did it the first day of school this year, I think. And it was a disaster. It's the same concept, but everyone's queuing, you know, in the morning, it's not as much of a traffic jam, but in the afternoon, you have, you know, people get there 10, 20 minutes early, so a long line down the block forms, and then you're inching up, and you're waiting, and then it all depends on how the kids are doing, whether they're, you know, the teachers are begging them on the megaphones, and is your kid even there to be picked up? Are they listening? Can they hear? Who knows? So we do Carline in the morning, because, you know, you just pull up, and they hop out, and it's a shorter walk for them. But in the afternoon, the kids and I agree it is more civilized for me to park and walk up to the gate where they are released. And it's actually more of a shit show this year than it was last year. Last year, not a lot of people did the park and walk up. It's way more this year, but it's just, it's a little more exercise walking. They're on a hill, so I always have to park down the hill, because walking up a hill with exhausted children at the end of an elementary school day, and their backpacks are so heavy. I hate those Chromebooks. Especially my fifth grader. I swear to God, her backpack is as heavy as mine was in high school. And they, so walking up the hill is not a choice. So I park down the hill. So then when I walk up the hill and I chat with friends and socialize, and then the kids come on out and down the hill we go. So it's the morning where Carline is a, it can be like the seventh circle of hell. Like one of Dante's circles must be Carline. The it's just incredible how Carline can bring out the like the worst, most thoughtless, rude behavior in humanity. So I will, even though I think the path to enlightenment is in letting go of this shit, let's indulge me in a minute or two rant about the stuff I've seen. And we're like a month into the school year, not even. No, God, we're like a month in. How did that happen? So it's just so basic. You pull into the driveway and you pull up as far as you can, and then you come to a stop, and then your children get out. But so many people, they just pull in and then they stop, like at the first spot, because that's like where the entrance gate is. And rather than pull up so that five or six cars can get into Carline and unload their children, they're like, I'm going to pull up so that my one car can unload and everyone else is waiting on the street. Then you have people who, we have a new principal who, thank God, has gotten a grip on people who are parking in the red zone and obscuring the view of people driving in Carline because someone was going to get killed. And you do still have parents jaywalking who parked and then they're jaywalking across the street. And so you have to be watching for them. And I have seen, the worst I've seen so far this year was someone who pulled up into, like, let's say the first slot, so she's the only car. And then it takes forever for her child to get out and the door closes and the child walks away. And then the child comes back and the child gets something else and then he walks away. And I mean, me and the kids, we were so like annoyed, but it was also so comical. And so we're laughing. And then finally this car starts to drive away only to go up to about the 80% point in the driveway and then just stop again and get out. And now she's dealing with a second child who's, I guess, in kinder, and those kids are supposed to be walked in and you're not supposed to use Carline, but people, they're just doing their own thing. So she's, and I at least had seen her behave poorly before, so I left enough of a buffer between me and her so that I could get out of there when once my kids had unloaded. So there, it's just, Carline is just one of those places where, you know, you're like gripping the car, the steering wheel, and like, you're just like, take your deep breaths. And that's when I realized, like, the path to enlightenment is in Carline. If I can handle all the bullshit annoyances of Carline while keeping my serenity and sense of humor, then I will pretty much be able to go through life unruffled by other people's bullshit. Because people have bullshit. And if you have your pet peeves, or if you're just like really like let yourself get wound up and agitated by other people's bullshit, you can be upset and livid and stressed all day long. And there are plenty of reasons, real life reasons, to be stressed. I mean, I live in a city, so there's stuff like fire engines, there's sirens going off, or you know, people honking their horns on the freeway. And our bodies have these physiological responses that don't, that we react as if they're saber-toothed tigers. Even though your brain can say, oh, it's a fire engine, someone called 911 and they're going to help someone. Your body is just like, holy shit. So, you know, there's lots of stuff out there that there's stressors in life. And you have to go through, you know, I do things like meditate and hot yoga and write in my journal and knit and do all my crafting to process just the regular stressors of life. But I'm realizing as I'm like, I don't want to spend all my life either being stressed or managing that stress. And so in addition to managing the stress, the real life stress that comes up, like, you know, of course there was stress when my dad was in the ICU after having emergency brain surgery in February. So that was natural stress. And but if I was burnt out, and I actually was burnt out, and I had stressed myself out over stuff like school carnival and coaching soccer teams and let all this BS stress come and steal my serenity so that I had very little energy when my dad was in the ICU. And so I was running on fumes that whole experience. And so I'm now at this point in my life where I'm looking around and I'm like, I can't let shit like Carline steal my serenity. I have got to find some enlightenment in Carline. I have got to look around and find the humor, or just be calm and just accept some bullshit is most likely going to happen in Carline. 4 out of 5 days, there will be some kid who is incapable of getting out of their car for seat, you know, for whatever reason, or a parent who, you know, is a jerk and just drives up and blocks everyone in, or there's just going to be some bullshit. And I should just be observing it and, you know, be like, this is field research for my novels, and I will mine this someday. But for now, like, let's not let it destroy me. So other areas of life where I'm just looking around and being like, you know, what really like riles me up and gets my nerves in a frenzy that is actually me letting someone else steal my serenity? What are cases where I can just chill the fuck out and not let other people's behavior ruin my mood? And so here's a few recent examples in my life outside of Carline. Hot yoga today. Someone was snorting up a storm. I mean, it was like a pig farm from this one person. I don't know. And I never figured out who it was, which I guess is good. It sounded like, I think it was coming from a yoga mat that a woman was working out on, but she was so tiny and petite. And I was like, what tiny woman could make this god-awful noise? So I thought it was one of the three men in her area who was big and capable of making that noise. But, you know, like 20, 30 minutes into class, and every time that this snort would happen, I'd kind of like cringe inside. Like, ugh, like it's, you know, just, you know, don't come to yoga if you're, you know, all stuffed up and congested and snorting. And but then I thought, like, well, this poor person is just trying to breathe. And I remembered my Carline experiences and how I'm trying to calm down in Carline. I was like, I'm trying to not let people steal my serenity. And I was like, why would I let someone snorting and snuffling in hot yoga steal the serenity of hot yoga? Because hot yoga is like, for me, it's like serenity central. And so I decided every time the person snorted, I would just use that as a cue to think a positive thought. So the first thought I landed on was the universe is amazing. And the person snorts and I go, the universe is amazing. And that really didn't do anything for me. So then they snorted again and I just went, serenity. And that language is so amazing. I really believe in the magic of language. And if you've ever read The Four Agreements, that's one of my favorite books. And one of the agreements is, and the agreements mean like basically like four guidelines for life. And one of them is be impeccable with your word. And the word I chose was serenity. And so rather than being like, thinking words like I'm annoyed or that's so rude or stay home with your snorty snorts, instead I just thought serenity. And I swear it worked. And within a few minutes, every time the person snorted, it was almost like the chime of a meditation bell, and I would just be like serenity, and my body would flood with like an extra dose of serenity. Like it was my usual hot yoga serenity, and then just by thinking serenity cued to a sound in the room, I was feeling more serene. So, that was me taking my agitation and turning it around. Another area also involving the car is people who ignore stop sign etiquette. Like it's not even etiquette, it's the law, like taking turns the right away. There is a major street in Pasadena, and it's near my kids' school. And it's not a major street. It's a two-way street, and it's going through a residential neighborhood, but it's been turned into like a pretty busy thoroughway of people heading down towards the freeway. And people who, and so it's on a hill, and so there's a north-south going up and down, and then there's the east-west kind of going straight away. And for some reason, people who go north-south, they just think the stop signs don't apply to them. I have seen people blow through those stop signs on multiple occasions, and I cannot tell you how many times. It's at least weekly, if not multiple times, where the person, it's like you let one person go, and then it's your turn to drive, but the other car, who it's not their turn, they just go like right away. They're like, I'm too important. I'm too busy. And I do. I would get annoyed about this. I'd complain about it to the kids. And it's like, oh, I'm not setting a good example. So now I just, what I say out loud is, well, you really got to pay attention when you're driving because not everyone's following the laws. And so I just know like this is an area with intersections where people like just all hell breaks loose. And really, I should like drop a note to the Pasadena Police Department because if anyone wants to be like, just like scoop up a bunch of easy traffic violations, this is the place to do it. I know the stop sign, Pasadena Police Department. Call me. So, but that's a pet peeve that I'm trying to be like, you know what? It's a pet peeve and it's stealing my serenity. Why am so these people are rude and dangerous. And some of them are, someone's going to get T-boned if it hasn't already happened. But why am I going to let it steal my serenity? I look around, I bide my time, I make sure it's safe to go when I go. And that's the end of the transaction. I don't need to be like freaking out and angry and raging because some idiot, thinks that they, forgets the stop sign, taking turns ways. One more area that I'm trying to apply this in my life would be fifth grade fundraising. Pippa's in fifth grade, she graduates this year, and traditionally you fundraise for graduation from January 1st of fourth grade until the end of the school year. And we don't really have a designated leader. And a lot of people want to raise a lot of money and they have ambitions. And my position on fifth grade graduation is, I mean, I didn't graduate fifth grade. I went to a Catholic school that went from K to eighth grade. So I graduated eighth grade. And my kids are going to graduate from eighth grade too for middle school and then high school and then whatever higher learning they decide to attend. And to me, I'm like, I don't see the benefit of hustling to do fundraising so the kids can go. One idea was they all go to Universal Studios. Well, a Universal Studios ticket, I mean, we get season passes, but most people don't have that. And we've only done it once. But these tickets cost over $100. So you have, I think, over 60 kids, I think closer to 70. I mean, that's like $7,000 in fundraising right there. And it doesn't cover school buses. And we have school buses have gotten really expensive in our area, especially since the pandemic. And it doesn't cover kids, their food. And I'm like, and that's just one thing. And people want to have like a catered lunch before graduation. And then there's decorations at graduation. And then there's usually a field day where they go to somewhere with like moon bounces and stuff. And I'm just like, whoa, like, what about like last year's class party for the end of the year? We had them down at the field. We did relay races. We did capture the flag. And we brought the kids ice cream. And holy shit, they were ecstatic, elated. They were delighted. And it was a worthy celebration. And like, it wouldn't take much more than that to mark the end of fifth grade. And there's so much stuff built into the fifth grade year. I mean, you're the oldest kids. You got that swagger all year anyway. And I know they get like a time during the day to go visit teachers with their yearbooks to get like signatures from all their old teachers. And there's just stuff that's built in that I don't think has to be. I don't think we have to do like $15,000, $16,000 of fundraising. But so I don't, so 2 points. So I don't need to get sucked into any frenzy over fundraising because I'm like, this does not align with my beliefs or values. And so I'm not going to get sucked into the fake stress and fake drama of fifth grade fundraising. And I have, like, this is my year, my sabbatical, thank God. And in the past, I've been a room parent and I've done the PTA and I've done, I think a lot of people expected me to take a lead role in this. And it's like, I was talking about this last week. I can't let other people's agendas hijack me. And this is one of those instances. So I'm not going to stress out about that. But also, who cares if people want to raise $15,000 or more? Who cares if there's parents who are like, there's like an overnight camping trip and they want to fundraise so that there's scholarships, so that the kids who can't afford like the $300 are still able to attend. If there's people who want, who this matters to them and this work resonates with them, they can go for it. And if there is something where I can like show up and just help out, like they've done, our school's in a major Christmas light neighborhood. So the past couple of years, the fifth grade class has sold hot cocoa and they make like $1,000 or $2,000 a night because people drive through and they buy baked goods or then they get their hot cocoa with like a candy cane and they make bank. So I'm happy to be there one or two of those nights if my kids are healthy, if I'm healthy, and help supervise this event. But I'm not going to go buy all the shit and keep it in my house. And I'm not going to organize it and decide who's volunteering what day and who has what job. No, thank you. Because raising that much money is just not in my wheelhouse. But I'm not going to like, I really need to not judge anyone who is taking this seriously because everyone comes at these experiences in life. They're at different points in their life and they have different values and beliefs and they're working through different issues. And so the same thing can mean different things for different people. Like, so for me, fifth grade fundraising sounds sort of crazy and over the top and keeping up with the Joneses and making something like trying to treat fifth grade graduation with the importance of like high school graduation. I'm like, I think it doesn't resonate with me. But for some people, it means something completely different. And who am I to judge, to judge them and their values and what how they want to spend their time and energy. I gotta like what it's hubris of me to look, I use the word hubris. Oh, I think my English teacher, Miss Bickett, would be so proud. But who am I to like decide what other people should be doing, how they should spend their time, what values they should have? Because we're all different and we approach different things at different times. Like me and hot yoga, I adore hot yoga. I don't try to convince anyone to go because I think most people, hot yoga is like absolute nightmare. I think I can't remember where I read this. I saw someone telling a story. God, it was in one of those, I think, popular self-help books. It might have been one of Glennon Doyle's books about a friend who went to a hot yoga class, and the teacher at this particular class told them, don't leave. And she stayed, and she was miserable, and she was, like, nauseous. And that's not my the studio I go to. They're like, yes, go step outside, especially to beginners. If you need a minute or two or 10, go get, you know, we flash the thumbs up so they know we're not about to die. But other than that, we can go outside and leave class whenever we want. But this teacher told the student, you can't leave. And so, and at the end of class, the student realized the door was unlocked. And I was following someone else's rules and letting them take command over like my body and how I took care of myself. So for that person, you know, for me, going to hot yoga is like a very serene and empowering and revitalizing experience. But for that person, not going to hot yoga might be very empowering. So same thing, but we all come at it with our own worldviews and our own experiences. So, you know, maybe for you, maybe Carline is hell on earth and you have the right to, you know, to not enjoy it. But for me, I am looking at Carline as it's just part of my life, and people are going to be what I perceive as jerks and idiots. But, you know, they probably all have a story in their head about why what they're doing is right. And, you know, and so, and again, who am I? Why am I so judgy? But I'm going to see Carline as having jerks and idiots. But why am I going to let that drive me crazy? Like, this is just the way it is. And I am choosing to drive up to Carline and take some deep breaths and keep my sense of humor and just stay calm during the experience. And I have to say that, as with so many areas of work in my life, noticing the problem is pretty much the entire solution. Once I noticed, I'm letting the jerks in Carline snatch my serenity. Once I noticed that, I was suddenly calmer. The next time I drove up to Carline, I was like, well, someone's gonna do something jerky, but I'm not gonna let it ruin my morning or even just a minute. Like, there's so many other things out there in life that are gonna rile me up. It doesn't need to be Carline. I'm not saying I'm enlightened. not even a chance. Not even a smidge. But I think for me, the path to enlightenment lies in Carline and in all those other areas, like freeway traffic jams, where my patience is being tested. Those are opportunities for me to look and be like, well, is this really as bad as I think it is? Or do I have a story in my head that maybe I can unknot and revise so that I can be calmer and stop letting people steal my serenity? And I will be looking around my life at just my ordinary life, like soccer games tomorrow. The way I react to, you know, all the bullshit that can happen, like from the parking lots to like the way the refs handle the game to the other coaches on the team to, you know, all of that. Be like, am I letting someone steal my serenity over nothing? I'm going to be looking around and hopefully I catch a few more areas that the other Carlines in my life where I can just take a deep breath and keep my sense of humor and be a little calmer. And I hope maybe you're a little calmer after listening to this and that I didn't rile you up and bring up some PTSD over your own Carline experiences. And wherever you're listening to this, have a lovely day or evening or weekend or life, or maybe this is the future. Hello to the future. I hope it's really, well, of course it's the future. It's always, anyone listening to this is obviously in the future. Okay, I didn't get my best night's sleep last night, so this is really time for me to stop rambling and just say goodbye.